Our reading this morning comes from Matthew, the 6th chapter, verses 24 through 34. Matthew, the 6th chapter, 24 through 34. No man can serve two masters, for either he will take the one and hate one and love the other, or else he will hold to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into the barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto your stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saving what you shall eat, or what you shall drink, or wherewither shall you be clothed. For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for tomorrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day of the evil thereof.
Guys, hear me?
Good morning. How's everybody? Hope everybody is doing good today. I want to thank you guys for this opportunity to allow me to speak. This is my first time speaking on a Sunday morning, so if there are some hiccups, I apologize now. But I would like to start off by acknowledging the bulletin that Mr. Joey wrote. He had an article in there this morning. It's a great read. But the point of the article was reflecting on the year, reflecting on the good in life, reflecting on everything that's happened throughout the year. And for a lot of us, reflecting on the year can be either good or bad. But I know around this time of the year, with Christmas being in a week, I know the first thing that comes to my mind is thankfulness, forgiveness, wonderful things of presents, getting with family. But that's not the case for everyone when it comes to this year. That's not the case for everyone when it comes to this time. For some people, this time is a lot of stress. It's a lot of anxiety. It's a lot of worry. It's the worry of getting presents. It's the worry of making sure everybody's together for the holidays. It's the worry of making sure everything is taken care of and ready for the next year. It can lead you to a worry cycle. It can lead you into a cycle of worry. It can lead you into this. So the first question is, what is worry? Well, that's a complicated question, because worry is different for everybody. It comes in different shapes and form. One form are Mayday worriers. You worry about the what ifs. You worry about the possibilities of what could happen. Weighing the risk is very important, but sometimes you take it to the extreme and think of the worst case scenarios. You think of what could happen. Some of us are yesterday warriors. Some of us can't get over our past mistakes. Some of us can't move forward and are so worried about what we did, we're not worried about what we're doing now. Some of us are future warriors. We worry about what might happen. Tomorrow belongs to God, but for some people, they can't see that. They can't understand. They're so worried about the possibilities, about the burdens, about the perils. You just want to know what will happen. And for some of us, we're everyday worriers. You're stuck in a cycle of worry that comes every day with the daily things in life, that come with the job that you go to every day, that come with your family troubles. You're everyday worriers. So which one is you? Do you know somebody like this? I'm sure everybody in here can either attest that this is you or you know somebody like this. And where can this worry lead? It can lead to a cycle. It can lead to a physical cycle. You can literally worry yourself sick. It can happen. You can cause headaches, nausea, lack of sleep, fatigue. In extreme cases, you can cause heart palpitations and depression. If you flip to Proverbs 12:25 states, anxiety in the heart of a man causes depression, but a good word makes it glad. You can literally worry yourself into a point of not functioning. You worry yourself to a point of feeling empty, feeling like you're lacking. Some of us, the worry can lead to a mental cycle. It can cause yourself to have a complaining spirit. The example I gave for this one is Exodus 16:1-16. This is after the Israelites have escaped Egypt. And one of the first things they do, God just delivered them. They're not in captivity anymore. And one of the first things they do is worry about, what are we going to eat? What are we going to drink? We might as well have stayed in Egypt. They lead themselves into having a complaining spirit because they're so worried about the what ifs instead of seeing what God has already done for them. It leads you to feeling meaningless, feeling like there's no meaning. For some of us, the worry can lead to a spiritual cycle. Matthew 13:1-9 is a parable of the sower. Sometimes we sow good seeds and sometimes we sow bad seeds. And when you sow the seed of worry, you cannot function. You feel helpless. You feel like you're stuck in a constant cycle. You can't get any sleep because you're so worried. You can't focus on God. Things feel meaningless because you're so worried. You're stuck in a cycle. This cycle can lead you to have a divided mind. It's hard to get over this cycle when you're so stuck in that worry. It's hard to focus on God when all you're focusing on is worry. So what can you do about that? You can do something about that by spotting that worry. You can spot it by understanding there's a difference between proper concern and worry and anxieties. It's good to be diligent about your responsibilities. It's good to know those responsibilities have to be done. That's important to understand. But when you take those responsibilities and that worry for those responsibilities and it becomes a cycle, it becomes something that breaks you down, that leads you into having a divided mind, you have a problem. I'm going to read from Matthew 6:25-30. Matthew 6:25-30. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat and what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more value than they? Which of you, by worry, can add one cubit to his stature? Understanding that God will take care of the birds and the animals in the fields. He will take care of you. Having this worry cycle will not add to your life. If anything, it will take away from your life in more ways than one. Continue reading here. So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I say to you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? The reason why food, water, and clothing are emphasized is because those are needs. Those are responsibilities that we have to take care of. So it's good to take care of your responsibilities. It's good to understand that things have to be done. But when you worry so much about these things, you fall into a cycle. You fall into a cycle that causes you to just feel empty, feel meaningless, feel helpless. When you fall into that cycle, you're not trusting what the Lord has done for you and is doing for you. So, I have a story. I like stories. Everyone in here understands the feeling of being 16, or well, most of us understand the feeling of being 16 and getting our first car, getting your license, driving around. It's great. For some, we wait a little bit, and for some, you get it early. But everybody understands the feeling of getting your license. For me personally, when I got my license, it was freeing. It was a freeing experience because it allowed me to go hang out with friends, get food, go out and just do what I needed to do. But one thing that came with that, especially in the day we live in today with all these technologies, is I had to check in with my parents. You got to check in with your parents. It's just what you have to do. When you get there, hey, I'm here safe. When you're going somewhere, hey, I'm heading this way. But the problems came when you forgot to check in. When you get to where you're going and you're just like in go mode, you forget to check in. So what happens next? You get texts and you get calls. It happens. You get those things. And where are you? What's happening? What are you doing? And for me and for a lot of you guys, you understand when you get those calls, when you get those texts, the first thing that came to my mind is, can you not trust me? Can you not trust me? God is saying the same thing to us when we are in that worry cycle. It's okay to go to God with your responsibilities, with these things. It's okay to do that. When you fall into this worry cycle, God just looks at you and asks, can you not trust me? Can you not believe in me and the power that I hold? Am I not greater than these things that worry you? So here I have some possible solutions. I'm going to be in Philippians 4, 6 through 9. Philippians 4, 6 through 9. Give yourself a couple minutes. Here I say the word, I say these are possible solutions because worry is different for everybody. When you're stuck in that worry cycle, there are many ways to get out of it. There are many ways to avoid having that worry cycle in general to begin with. So these are just some possible solutions that you can do to prevent and or climb out of that worry cycle. First, you need to pray biblically. Philippians 4, verse 6 and 7 state, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ. When you pray, you need to pray biblically. You need to understand and be thankful for what God has done for you and bring your worry to God, but you have to do both. You have to be able to understand that God is a God who wants your requests. He wants to talk to you, but God is also a God that provides. He's a God that has the power to provide. You need to understand both, because if you do, you won't feel that emptiness. You won't feel like there's something missing, because there's nothing missing. You're just not seeing it because you're in that worry cycle. God has been there for you. God is there for you now, and God will continue to be there for you. You just have to see him. You just have to go to him. You must pray biblically. Next, you must think biblically. Your mind has to be disciplined. I will be reading Philippians 4, verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. In 2 Corinthians 10, it tells us, part of the work of the ministry is to tear down the strongholds of wrong thinking. You need to understand, when you think biblically, it's hard to think about anything else. When you're focused on God, it's hard to focus on anything else. Where your focus is, there your heart will be also. So if your focus is in worry, if you're thinking about worry constantly, stuck in this worry cycle, that is where you're going to be. To break this worry cycle, you need to break it with God. You need to break it with his word. When you break it with his word, things gain meaning. Things are no longer meaningless to you. things have a point. You have a purpose because you see God. You're thinking about God. Another possible solution is living biblically. So Philippians 4:9 states, "The things which you have learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you." A good way to get to avoid worry is to be prepared to live biblically. If you're worried about finances, a good way to combat that is to save money. This is even more important if you think about the worry cycle and what that can do to you. Get your mind on Christ. Get your thoughts on Christ. Get your life replicating Christ. When you do that, you no longer feel this helplessness. You feel like you have help because you know Christ is with you. You're living with Christ. You're being Christ-like. You're being a Christian. You no longer feel that meaninglessness. You no longer feel that emptiness. You no longer feel that helplessness. I do this thing every time I give a lesson because I think it helps. If you don't remember anything I've stated so far, remember this. Worry is normal. It is normal to have worries. We are human. We are not perfect. That's why we need God. It's normal to have worries. Everybody experiences it differently. Everybody looks to different solutions. But there's one universal solution that I have repeated this entire time, and that's God. God is the one who can help with the worry. God wants to help with the worry. You just have to be willing to go to him, to give that worry away and understand his power. Going back to Matthew 6, verses 31 through 34. "Therefore, do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat? What shall we drink? Or what shall we wear?' For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." You need to understand that God knows what you need. He knows you need these things. He knows that you need the basic necessities of life. He knows that. And he wants to help with that. So what's the point of worry? What's the point of having these worries? If you're not baptized today, you need to seriously consider it. Because when you find yourself in this worry, you need to turn to God. And it's hard to do that when you're not in Christ. It's hard to do that when you're not in somebody who is the ultimate comforter, the ultimate redeemer, the ultimate savior. He is there to help you. So you need to be baptized so you can be there. And if you are in Christ and you are baptized and you find yourself in this worry cycle, refocus yourself. Refocus. God's forgiveness and grace is there for us to use it. So use it. Refocus yourself back into Christ. Refocus your mind out of that worry cycle. God's ultimate ability is availability. He is always there. You just have to go to him. So if you need anything, if you need to refocus yourself in Christ, if you want to be baptized for remission of your sins, if you want to have prayers to God for you, come up while we stand and while we sing.